God wants you to be successful. He wants you to have victory in every area of your life. Sometimes we think we have to do it all, that it's all up to us. God wants to be involved in your life. He not only wants to be involved, He wants you to cast your cares, your fears, your concerns, and your inadequacies on Him. And He promised to complete a good work in us, as we discover in today's message entitled, The Mood of Victory.
How many of you know that God has called you to walk in victory through every season of your life, even when you don't see victory, right? You're called to walk in it. So I want to just encourage you today on the mood of victory. The mood defined is a receptive state of mind predisposing you to action. As a good interpretation, as a good definition, a receptive state of mind predisposing you to action. So God today wants you to have a receptive state of mind that predisposes you to victory. Okay? There's something, have you ever, maybe growing up, mom, dad come home, you want to ask dad for something and he didn't have a great day. Mom looked at you and said, don't ask today because he's in a mood. You know what I'm talking about? Wait till the mood changes and then you might get some traction. You know what I'm saying? So there's a mood that God wants to instill in you, and the mood changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere of the room, changes the atmosphere of your home, changes the atmosphere of your situation. It changes some things. So I've got some object lessons today that I think are going to help us define. You guys know about me and my object lessons, right? You know it gets crazy. Don't judge me. It's just how my mind works. It works in pictures, but I want to communicate a few things to you about the word. And so what we're going to do is look at the soul. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So they're the emotive state of you. They're your will, your desire, your aim, your goal, and they're your mind, the construct of how you see the world, how you think, how you process, the mindset that you have. So when I talk about the soul, I'm talking about your mind, your will, and your emotion, and what God wants to do to speak into that today. So I want you to look at this verse with me. It's Psalm 19, verse 7, and they may have screens, but if not, just go to YouVersion, pull it up if you want. But I want you to look at this. It says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect. Everybody say perfect with me. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. So the word of God, the word that he gave you, his love letter to you and to me, the Bible, written by 40 different authors in 3 different languages over 1,600 years, not a contradiction there, not a fallacy there. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It is the word of God. It's his perfect gift to you and to me. It's perfect for you. It's not, it doesn't just fit. You ever had a pair of jeans that kind of fit, but then you had a pair of jeans that you just wore slam out because they were perfect? Those hips don't lie. You know what I'm talking about? They were perfect for you, you know? And so the word of God fits perfectly in and through your life. There's not a situation or a circumstance that the word of God isn't designed for. There is not a circumstance or a social issue that the word of God isn't designed for. Hello? We need the mood of victory in here today. I just feel like you're struggling today. Come on, help me out. Say the word of God is perfect. Come on, amen? Amen. A little bit better. That means I get it. Amen just means check. I get it. So let it be. Let's say it one more time. The word of God is perfect. Okay, so I want you to agree with it, because when you agree, you establish something with your mouth, okay? So you're agreeing with the word. It's getting into your spirit, whether it's hitting your head or not, all right? So just say amen. Some of you got it still. Let's say amen. Amen. There we go. All right. Yeah, I need you to talk back to me, or it's going to be a long day, church. All right. So the Bible says the word of God is perfect, reviving the soul. How I think about the word of God, the soul in Hebrew is your throat. Okay? It's the spirit. It's like when you are underwater and you come up for breath and you just... You breathe in. It's like you walking through something difficult and you just feel like it is so crushing. The weight of it is so difficult that you cannot even breathe. And the Word of God, the Word of God revives. It's perfect for that situation. It revives your life. And so it revives your soul. So it's like the defibrillator, the paddles that the doctors put on you. Everything stopped. Everything is hard. And all of a sudden, the Word of God, bam, just comes and revives your mind, your will, and your emotions and breathes life in you. Breathe in. I love the Word of God, and it will hit you like that right where you're at. I just feel right now it's going to hit somebody in here in a situation that has just been challenging. For others, it's going to put you at the next level today. Buckle in. It's going to be a good ride today. So the inner self is the part of a person that thinks, feels, wills, all of that. I heard it said like this one time, emotions are like children in the back seat. You better acknowledge that they're there, but you can't let them drive, right? Right? You don't want them to drive. Some of you like to let them drive. It's like Groundhog Day, man. You know, don't drive angry. It's one of those things. You don't want them. And there's also no such thing as an unexpressed emotion. So some of us have difficulty with that. And I want you to tell you, it's going to come out somehow, some way. How you process and filter that through the Word of God will determine if that's positive or detrimental in your life. So the right mood can enable you to view the world as a house with an infinite number of doors or as a simple entryway into a confining cell. Do you view the world as, hey, God, there's limitless opportunity here, there's limitless potential, or I'm just walking into something that's confining, restrictive? A mood can do that. A mood can do that. And so I want you to think kind of in those terms with me today. The Bible says a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? I love this one. If you don't know this one, it's Psalm 55:22. Cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So I'm going to do something today. You want to help me with this? I'm going to use an object lesson today. My brother-in-law, Steve, who's far, far, far more in shape than I, has some tools of the trade, and he was cut. No, dude, you're supposed to hold it, Isaac, and pass it. This is a 20-pound medicine ball. You might think, why do I have this? And to be honest with you, this is the third service for me. My muscles are tired, and if you know why, just look, I don't have many, so that's why they're tired. But I want to get this across to you. The Bible says to cast all your cares on the Lord. Now, I want you to envision this ball for a minute, this 20-pound medicine ball, whatever you call it. I don't know what it's called, Swiss ball. What is it called? Okay, I want you to envision this. Put a label on it, okay? This will represent something different for everybody sitting in the room. For some of you, this is a burden that you carry, and it involves your health. It involves something related to your health and your body. For others, it is a mindset. It can be fear. It can be anxiety. It can be depression. For others, it's finance. Is it something that you're dealing with there? For others, it might be a loved one that's off or a relationship that's gone bad. Whatever it might be, I want you to know today that we all have a ball like this in our lives. It's something that we carry. And if you don't carry it now, trust me, you will. Don't worry. But God's grace will be sufficient. So here's what I want you to do. I think a lot of times, I'm going to act like Isaac is God today, okay? So Isaac is going to be God here today. Don't get a complex about it. Just come on up here, God. I want him to come up here today. And here's how I believe a lot of us are. I'm like this. Do we have any people in the room that like to control things? I'm asking again, because all you liars, which, by the way, we're going to mend the altar call, going to go 5 minutes longer because there's some liars up in the house today. So don't worry about it. We love you. You can be here. There's no perfect people here, but some of you are lying about being perfect. So come on. Do we have any people that like control here today? I don't know about you. I'm a planner. I love control. I've planned. I'm into 2019, church, for our church. I love to plan, love to do things. And God sometimes says, shut up, this is my church. I'm going to do what I want with it. I say, okay. But I love to plan anyway. He can wreck them, but I still love to plan. I love the control of it. You know what I'm saying? I just like to know that things are in order and they're in place and everything. Anyway, I think a lot of times we go to God with this thing and we say, and believers are great at this. We have a master's degree in this right here. I mean, it might even be a PhD. We go to God in prayer. Now help me out, man. Don't just be like there. Okay. Lift some weight so that, there you go. Good man. So here's where I'm going with this. And by the way, sometimes we do that with God too, right? We tell him what to do. Counsel the Almighty, tell him what's right and what's wrong. Sorry, that just came out. So this thing here, a lot of times we go to God in prayer and we say, hey, I want to give this to you, but I don't know that I trust you with it. Right? Wait a minute, it's going to get more real. I don't know that I trust you with it, so I'm going to keep my hands on it. And because I don't know that you care about this thing, I don't know that you care about my ball like I care about my ball. I don't know that you are going to do what I want you to do. I don't know if you're going to bring out the conclusion with this ball that I want you to bring out with this ball. And so I just don't know. I got to keep my hands on it a little bit. Come on, somebody. Keep my hands on it a little bit and just make sure. Like, I want to give it to you, but I don't know if you care about it as much as I do. And so I just don't know how to surrender it. Because fact is, I care too much about it. And here's the thing, church. A lot of us will hate prayer because we will leave as burdened as we came. And you will wonder why other people are having such a great time in God and you just leave empty. And part of the reason for that is we don't know how to surrender these things and trust him in it, because prayer involves trust and submission to God. Not my will, but yours be done. God, I know that you're in it. I know that you're leading and guiding. I don't understand it all. I don't know how it happened. I've suffered great loss, but I know that you can bring about good in it. And so we leave with this burden and we never feel like we can get rid of it. But I want you to know something. God, stand here. Come here. The Bible uses the word cast for a reason. And cast in the Hebrew context here is a violent throwing. It involves violence. Okay? It involves absolute and overwhelming effort. I want you to hear this now. And it demands such a commitment to getting rid of this. Because, by the way, I don't know if you realize that you were never meant to, designed, built for, or intended to carry this ball. But you picked it up somehow along the way, and it became almost like an appendage. Some of you have been, you've named it Wilson, whatever, I don't know. But it travels with you. You talk to it. You talk to this thing. Is that bad? You drown trying to save it. You didn't see that movie. It's cool. But help me now. When the Bible says that you are to cast it, it's a violent throwing. You literally are looking at God saying, you know what? I trust you so much with this. I don't just believe that you're going to work your will in and through it, but man, I believe that you'll actually catch it. Yeah? And all of a sudden, I'm 20 pounds lighter. No diet, thank you very much. Right? All of a sudden, God has breathed life into something, and I didn't change. I just surrendered. I trusted, and I allowed through my prayer to do what God designed prayer to do, communicate and unload to him and let him download into me. Now, I also want you to see, I'm not holding anything at this time. I know that's revelation for you today, but there's nothing in my hands. Can you all see that? Nothing there. And this is another thing. Sometimes we act like something's in our hands, but God has already freed us from it. That's a whole nother issue. But so my hands are still like this, even though I don't have a ball. Don't act like the way you used to when God set you free from it. Another thing. So anyway, I'm here and I'm in this place, and all of a sudden, God now, my hands are free to do and to put them on what God designed for me to. Are you with me today? When I cast all my care, now the Bible says, cast all your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you, which goes to the fact that God cannot sustain you until you cast all your cares on him. So if you're, some of us are robbing ourselves of a power and a trust and a strength that comes only through God because we haven't learned to surrender this thing. We just got some control issues on it. And God then says, I want you to use this phrase. I want it to be a violent throwing off. You with me, Isaac? You here? So it doesn't matter. In fact, you can be carefree and careless about your thing. You can just, it's a heavy ball, y'all. Somebody helped me, got it out of the car when I came from the second service. They said, that thing looks so light on the stage. I'm like, tell me about it. And I go like this. That's how we come a lot of times. And if you carry that thing long enough, it'll start to affect your posture. It'll start bending you down. It'll start giving you back problems. You won't be able to look up because you're too busy carrying what you got. God designed you to get it off. And when it comes to your emotions and your soul and the things going on in your life, you need to get it off. Can we give Isaac a hand today? Take that ball with you. I never want to see it again. Let God take it to his seat. It's just one for you. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. I want you to know today, right where you're at, there's a word for you. There's a word in God's word that sustains the weary, the Bible says, which means that there is something right for your situation that God has spoken that will be an answer for you if you know where to find it. And it's in his word, church. I'm a hammer the word today. I mean, we're going to be all on it. So it says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue, Isaiah 50, verse 4. I love this verse, probably one of my favorites. To know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. So the word that sustains the weary, I want you to see, Isaiah had a word, but he also saw the word. He saw the suffering Jesus. He saw Jesus going to the cross for our sins. He saw all of this. And Jesus later on says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. See, the reality is when you go to him, you unload that, you trust him with it, you get rest in it, you get joy in it. You don't have to carry that thing. I started looking up the word sustains. I know a word that sustains the weary. And how many of you know that God came down for us? We couldn't go up to him. We couldn't get to him. He came because of our sin. He came down for you and me. Can you say amen to that? So here's what I think is awesome. I've never seen this, never read this, never knew it was there. When it says that I know a word that sustains the weary, you know what the word sustains mean? It doesn't mean to give life to. I thought it did because I'm a thing, give life, you know, support, develop. It means to bend oneself toward. Think about this. Let's put it in the context of the scripture. In Hebrew, it means to bend toward. And I started thinking, gosh, and I want you to see this here too. The original language actually means to pervert, to twist, to bend. And I thought, that isn't at all like God. But you know what? We have a God that's so powerful and so loving that he actually did something out of the nature of what any of us thought God should or would do, and he came down as man incarnate. He bent himself. He twisted himself down. He took on our form. He limited himself. He took on our humanity. He took on all our things. Being in very nature God, he humbled himself as a servant, so he became what he created, church, but perfect, and he then took all of that and then became sin, the Bible said. He twisted himself so that he could straighten you and me. I started looking at it, and it gets better. It gets better. It says that he knows a word that can sustain the weary, and all of a sudden you apply that Hebrew to what it actually means, and there's a word that bends down to your situation. It bends down, and it says, hey, I know where you're at, and here's the answer for what you need. It bends down. Even the word bends down to lift you up. And what you're going through, it bends down. It comes down because you can't get up. Come on. That's our God. That's our God. Some of you are starting to get it. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I love this verse, Hebrews 4. I'm just quoting scripture at you because it's all about the word today. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, powerful. Says it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost desires. I never saw this either. I'm going to help you out. I started just looking up some words, and I found when it says it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, it knows how to discern the eternal from your mind and your will and your emotions. It can cut between those two things, the word of God. And here's what's so amazing. When you look at the word cutting between soul and spirit, you know what that means? It means to pass into or through, often overcoming resistance. To literally, if you look at the root words of that word, it means to reach through with the hand. All right, we're going to take a minute on this because I think it's going to touch somebody here. I just want you to get ready. When you look, you don't get it yet. You're not there yet. Walk with me in this. The word of God is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. You know, there's some things that set themselves up against us today. Okay? There's some mindsets, there's some experiences, there's some problems, there's some background, there's some teaching, there's some worldviews, there's some things that have set themselves up in you and me that are opposed to the knowledge of God and to the word of God. And so when you come into hard times, we're more often to pull on those than other things that relate to the word. And so the Bible says, one of the greatest fears I have is pursuing God and missing him. Thinking I'm doing the right thing, but being in error. I want you to hear me now. I was just in Germany. We planted a church there 27 years ago in Bavaria. And there's a whole nation church that 70 years ago was killing millions of people, and churches were signing on to it, thinking they're doing the right thing, thinking deluded in their minds, but doing the wrong thing. I want you to hear me now. Where do you go to filter out what do I really feel and what's right? What do I think and what's right? I go to the Word. I go to the Word. The Word is the final authority. It's the ultimate appeal. So when you're in something, the Bible says the Word comes. When you're stuck in a problem, when you're stuck in a mindset, when you're stuck in a back history, it doesn't matter what your mama taught you. It doesn't matter what your daddy taught you. It doesn't matter what your experience has taught you. What matters is, what does the Word of God say to that? And when I submit that to God, listen now, the Bible says that it cuts through soul and spirit, and it starts to look at my mind and my will and my emotions and my mental constructs and how I feel and the desires of my life. And the Bible says the word is like the hand of God. It penetrates, it pushes through, it deals with all of that resistance, and it overcomes it, and it grabs a hold of that mindset, that thought, that emotion, that perspective, and it brings it, it drags it, it lifts it up to the word of God. And it says, this is out of line. That's not of me. Come into alignment with my word. That it then confirms, it convicts, and it confirms. Still not there quite yet. It starts to convict some things in you. Some old things, some deep-seated things. Some things that are so close they almost define you. And then it starts to confirm the thoughts of God in your mind and your will and your emotions. When you begin to appeal to the word of God, it's the final appeal. There is no higher appellate court. There is no ultimate authority over it. The word of God says, no, 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 no. Who the Son set free is free indeed. You don't have to believe what the doctor said. You don't have to believe what your mom and dad said. You don't have to believe a genetic history. You don't have to believe some predisposed notion. No, if you're free in Christ, then you're free indeed. There's no higher appeal. The word of God reaches into the confusion of that person, that state, and says, wait a minute. I'm putting my hand through the word. That's what it means to push through resistance as with a hand. It cuts through soul and spirit. It discerns them. And then it looks at your mind and your will and your emotions. It says, that desire isn't of me. Get it out of here. That mindset isn't of me. Get it out of here. All people are created equal in God's eyes. Come on. It starts to look at a thought. It starts to look at a motive. It starts to look at the deepest, innermost part. It starts to say, oh, that doesn't fit here. I'm lifting that thing up to the standard of my word, says the Lord. And it's got to go. You don't know, but it's got to go. And yeah, hold on, wait a minute. That's of God. I know everybody else is telling you, everybody in the world is telling you that isn't. You don't need, just say it, it's revolutionary. You don't need your Facebook account. Nobody's going to tell you what's right there. It's vain imagination. It's wrong thinking. It's divisive. You don't need to search for the latest truth on Instagram or some news agency. No, no, no. You need the word. The word. There's lots of words. You need the word. You need the word. And the Bible says there's certain words in Galatians 5:22, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And against those things, there's no law. It means you can have them in excess. Isaac, you were helping me with the ball today. In fact, you know what? James, come here for a minute. Everybody say, hi, James.
Hi,
James. James is playing football for his school. James, I haven't seen James in almost a year, and James literally has developed muscles on muscles. I didn't realize that was even possible, but I saw James. He's like yoked, man. He's getting big. He's lifting. He's doing his thing. I'm like, good grief. I need to hang out with you some. But you know what I started noticing? James, do you curl weight? You do? Okay, what do you curl, if you know what I'm asking? Okay, so you're curling 35-pound dumbbell, okay? It's not bad. It's great. It's better than me. Better than me. Maybe 40, 45. What'd you say? Now, do you go to gym? How often do you go to gym? At least twice a week. Okay. All right, so let's look at this. Now, me, I'm built more for speed. You can tell. Built for speed. Just agile. Nimble. I'm a flight, not a fight. Y'all with me? Fight's coming here too, you know. But anyway, if I go to James's high school, what school you go to? Deep Run High School. If I go to Deep Run and I go into the gym, there's all these guys jacked up lifting weight, and I pick up a 5-pound dumbbell. I got my Nike gear on. I'm working it. I've got my watch. I know how many calories I'm burning. Pick that bad boy up. My watch instantly tells me to breathe. Pick that up. Go on, curl that 5-pounder. Put it down. Go, yep, I got it. Moving on. Got plenty of peace. Now listen, here's what I want to tell you. The fruit of the Spirit is much like this. It's something that you work and it grows by working it. A lot of us have an acquaintance with it. We haven't developed it. So when I pick up a dumbbell and I start lifting it, I want you to know your muscles got bigger through repetition, didn't they? You did it over and you did it over and you did it over again, didn't you? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say right here and there. When you say, hey, listen, there's a peace that I have in my life and I'm familiar with it. Oh, but then as I develop that peace in difficult circumstances, then there's a peace that passes understanding in my life. Why? Because against these things, there's no law. There's a joy that I have, but then there's a joy that overflows. Are you hearing me today? As I begin to just develop these things, oh, there's love that I have. Oh, but wait a minute. Now I can love everybody as Jesus did, because I'm learning through his grace to apply that love in so many ways. See, I think a lot of times we're posing, we're showing up at the gym, and we're dressed the right way. We're in the right place and dressed the right way, but we only have an acquaintance with the weight. I'm preaching so much better than you're responding to. I got to be honest with you. I don't know what to do. Turn my mic up. I'm screaming too loud, please. Thank you. I want to get this across, church, before I lose my voice. Know that you know that you know that the weight you have not just an acquaintance with. Come on, let God convict you in this, please. God doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. Conviction is always motivational. It's inspirational. Condemnation pushes you away. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Let it convict you. I'm trying to get a point across. So many of us show up, lift that thing one time, and for us it's about what we know. But when you lift that weight, it's about what you know. It's about a heart that says, no, I can do it, I can push through it. I'm developing a muscle that's killing me every step of the way. But I can tell you right now, when I begin to pull my thought life, when I begin to pull my fear, when I begin to pull my attitude, when I begin to pull my mindset, and I allow and I submit it to the cross and the word of God, as I allow the hand of God to reach into me through his word, and start to expose some things, start to deal with some things, all of a sudden, the Bible says, I get set free. And all of a sudden, my response, I want to tell you this. How many of you, and this is not disparaging in any way, but you know somebody that's this way all the time, up and down and up and down and up and down. Come on. Let me see. Up and down, up and down. No constancy, no stability. They're working at Kohl's one day, the next day they're in Argentina pumping gas off the Antarctic. You're like, what are you doing? I just thought you're here and you're here and you're, what are you doing? I want to tell you this right now. God wants your life constant. Now listen, I want you to hear this now. He does not mind. You'd have to throw out the Psalms if God cared about this. You can respond in a way that's emotional. And God gave you your emotions, your mind, your will, all of those things. He gave you your soul. It's precious to him. But I want you to see something. It was always intended to be redeemed. I don't really care what the journey is. I care where you arrive at. When you look at David, why have you forsaken me? Why are my enemies against me? Why is this happening to me? And all of a sudden, but every time, oh, but you, O Lord, are my fortress and my shield, my help in times of trouble. You lifted me out of the miry clay. You set my feet on a rock. It's about where you arrive. Come on. Allow the word of God to reach in. It cuts through. There's so much resistance in me. I'll be honest. I'll be the first one to be honest. So much resistance in me sometimes to his word. And he has to reach in and he starts to say, I'm pulling that before the cross and that's wrong. And I love you enough to tell you that. And I care about you. And you got to get this right. You got to align it with my word. Your emotions are off. You got to love those people by degrees. I know you want to kill them, but you got to love them. And as you grow that, as you continually lift that thing, it's going to produce something awesome in your life. Come on. Are you a soul survivor? I'm going to tell you right now, the difference between whether you're here now and in 15 years will be one thing. It won't be how passionate you are. It won't be how awesome you are. It won't be how gifted you are. It'll be one thing. I guarantee you one thing. How committed are you to the word? That's it. How committed are you to the word? Will you allow the word of God to go in and start mixing some stuff up? Will you allow it to affect your mind and mindset and thought life? Will you allow it to start to change your will and your emotions? If you will, you're a soul survivor. If you won't, you're going to lose that battle. And you're going to lose it over, and you're going to lose it over, and you're going to lose it over. And you're going to go to prayer and hate it because you can't get any relief in it, because you don't know how to surrender to it. You're going to keep carrying the ball all the while, missing out on what God did call you to put your hands on. Are you with me today, church? Be a soul survivor. Stand on His word. Apply His word. And you know what? For goodness sakes, don't sit here and listen to all this at the end. At the end of the service, get your parts up, do a 180, and go back to a table and sign up for the word. Sign up and invest in your spiritual future. Life's a wheel. Sometimes you're on the top, sometimes you're on the bottom. If you're on the top, man, invest, invest, invest. Get more knowledge of the word of God, because you're going to need it one day. When you're on the bottom. Everybody hearing me today? That's just one practical little thing. I don't know people. I'm uncomfortable around people. I have anxiety around people. God loves you. He cares about that. But you got to get over it. Get in a group. Do something. The reality is, we all got things that we don't want to do. That's what I'm saying. Let the word of God be applied to your situation. Would you stand with me today? I'm done. I'm sweating up here, y'all. Come on. Real quick. Only going to take a minute. Only a minute. Two things. Only two things. Jesus Christ came for you. He loves you. And you do not have a chance at heaven or an abundant life without Him. I know this. I was this. We were all sinners saved by the grace of God. If you are here today and you have never actually committed your life to Christ, I mean really committed it, and confessed your sin, I want you at this moment to bow your heads and close your eyes. In this moment. And I only want you to do two things. The first is, if that is you and you need to give your life to Christ and repent, which means to turn away from your sin. All I want you to, there's hope for you today. God loves you so much. He bankrupted heaven for you. He gave His one and only Son. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Right now. Okay. Right now. Nice and high. That's it. I'm not going to call you up. Okay. I want you to say this prayer if you raised your hand after me. The Bible says you confess with your mouth. Say, "Dear God, I repent of my sin. I turn from it. I ask you to forgive me, to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. I start a relationship with you today. I believe that Jesus died for me and that He rose on the cross for me. I accept His work right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you said that prayer, then at the end of the service, I want you to go to that room in the back called Starting Point. We have a Bible for you. You need to tell somebody that you made that decision. You're not meant to walk alone. Church, it's a season of the Word. Let's be practical. Let's get in the Word. Get into a connect group. Sign up. Get involved and allow the word of God to reach in and begin to change some things in your life. If you need prayer today, there'll be some prayer people right up here in the front. You come to them and you say, "Hey, pray through this with me until I've got it." I'm serious. Don't leave without allowing God's word to do something in you. It's going to be a great series. We got some more good things for you. We'll see you next week.
Today's message was delivered from the pulpit of the House of Prayer Central Campus in Chesterfield County by our senior pastor, Jonathan Stells. If you're looking for a church to call home, we extend to you a warm invitation to consider the House of Prayer. You'll find vital information about our church and its ministries right here on this website. Or for more information, you can call the church office at 796 2828. We hope you'll have a great week, and we hope to see you soon at the House of Prayer, where you find faith, family, and friends.